To the insurance company that spurned me, our time together has come to an end. It's not me, it's you. We both know what I'm talking about. 15 minutes ago, I began courting Geico. It was just the easiest thing I've done since buttering my biscuit at breakfast. Not only have I saved hundreds of dollars on my car insurance, but also the future tears you were sure to impose. My heart and my coverage now belong to Geico. Sincerely, not yours, Tara, in Telluride.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everybody, on this gorgeous, gorgeous Monday afternoon in mid-May. Seth and Sean, although we don't quite know where Sean is. Seth and Sean, Sports Radio, backsportspage.com. And I was so excited to start talking, because when I'm thinking of May, I'm thinking Maryland basketball, of course, because that's my true love. And then a couple of things came about in the last few days. It's not been a great day for the Boston world. Starting late last week with Bill Simmons being fired from ESPN. Simmons, the linchpin, the biggest, kind of the start of the new generation of media, you know, for better or for worse, over the last 15 years in the sports world. The diehard Boston guy started his company, whatever you want to call it, as the Boston sports guy. And kind of went from a couple hundred people on AOL to millions and millions of people in Grantland. And we'll get to him later. Waiting for Mr. Palmer to call in. And we talked, obviously, what came down no more than an hour ago, and we're still trying to kind of put our arms around it. Tom Brady suspended for 4 games. The Patriots, $1 million fine, which to Robert Kraft is what it is. Speaking of, Mr. Palmer.
Hello.
I am here.
How are you today?
I am doing all right. I couldn't find the intro. Since you've been hosting the last month or two, I've only been the lovely sidekick. So at least we know how the Jets fan is taking the punishment from Deflategate coming 6 months after the fact. So, Mr. Palmer, your thoughts?
Well, I really didn't think today could get any better. And it did.
Spoken like a true bitter Jets fan.
Well, by this time tomorrow, I'll be in Wrigley Field and watching the Mets play after watching the Mets sweep the series against the Philadelphia Phillies this past weekend. Then, okay, well, I was happy for you because you got Rashad Suleiman and you actually have a legitimate top 5, if not top 3, if not preseason number 1 team going into next year. So I was happy for you. I got over the fact that Tyus Battle is not coming to Jersey.
Okay, I had to throw it in.
I'm even more proud of you. You figured out how to use the switchboard.
It was awesome. I just couldn't find your intro.
Oh, that's a problem.
That's
how
okay.
Could you not?
Because I figured it would say intro.
It does. It says Seth and Sean intro.
Oh, I just went to regular intro.
Really not sure how clear I needed to put that on here.
I thought intro would be sufficient. Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. We're so glad you could attend. Come inside, come inside. There behind the glass stands a real blade of grass. Be careful as you pass. Move along, move along. Come inside, the show's about to start. Well done. I see it now. Let you okay, I don't know quite what that's from. So, Tom Brady suspended for 4 games. the Patriots getting $1 million fine, first round pick in 16 is gone. What is your feeling? Is this a fair punishment? Is this overreaction based upon, you know, whatever you want to call it, based upon Goodell's prior history? You know, how do you feel about it?
Well, hell hath no fury than a Roger Goodell scorned. I will tell you
how
that.
How long were you working on that line for?
About 5 minutes. It really wasn't all that long.
That's pretty good.
It was like the thing I thought about. I was like, man, he is one pissed off guy. You know, at the end of the day, and to use your line, at the end of the day, this comes down to one thing. Tom Brady and the New England Patriots sticking their noses up at everybody else and saying, we're better than you. And not better on the field. I mean, better in general. Because you can make all the cases that this is not as severe as steroids, or it's not as severe as Ray Rice or Kevin Hardy, or Greg Hardy, not Kevin Hardy, excuse me, Greg Hardy. You can make all those cases, and you know what? You'd have a valid argument to me. I get it. But the one thing you can't do is if your employer tells you to do something, you can't say, you can't
no.
spit in his face and say no.
Yeah. That's why I actually thought this was pretty fair.
And that's what this is. Seth, I don't think this has as much to do. You know how they say all the time, the cover-up is twice as bad as the crime, right? I think this is more punishing the potential cover-up or the lack of cooperation in the cover-up than it is the crime. The crime is one thing. Look, anytime you get a competitive advantage against another team on the field, you are breaking the rules. Done and done. It's very clear. But if I do something at work, you are your own boss, so I do not bring you into this. But if I do something at work, and my employer says, I need you to give me all your emails today, I don't have a choice in the matter. And if I do, and if I say, no, I'm not going to do that, you know what he's going to say? Get out. You're done. And unfortunately, or fortunately for Tom Brady, because of the collective bargaining agreement, Roger Goodell doesn't have that right, nor would he. But this is what he can do. So this is basically, and if you think that Bill Belichick is getting away scot-free for this, I caution you to look at what actually transpired. The first-round pick is basically the extent of suspending Bill Belichick because it's punishing the organization. I don't think you're going to suspend Bill Belichick for a season. And if you suspend him for 4 games, I really don't I think you've got your punishment suspending Brady more than anybody else.
Yeah, I agree. And in what should be a vastly improved AFC East, it could be the 4-game suspension obviously could be the difference between the division title and not making the playoffs. If people want to call in and talk about it, 760-283-0846. I agree. I mean, I was reading Peter King, Monday Morning Quarterback, and they were talking about the gauges they used at halftime. And they figured out the whole air pressure, that it was 0.02 of a whatever it should be, lower than it should have been, which the whole realm of things, I'm not sure how consequential it is. But at the end of the – but when it's all said and done, when you were pretty much – what do you say?
Does it matter? It's still cheating. Does it matter?
Well, no. What I'm saying is when you blatantly disregard that – no, I understand that the ramifications, whether – you know, it's like my argument on the NCAA tournament, the final – of the first four. Regardless of whether I agree with it or not, you know, you do what you have to. It is what it is. That didn't really go where I wanted it to go. But it's – regardless of whether there's a punishment, whether the result shows it or not, it should never have obviously been done. Now, there is no specific smoking gun on Brady, according to the 200,000-page Ted Wells report, which took, 5 months And, you know, the sad part is realistically it would not have had much of an impact, I don't believe. I don't think you do either, on the AFC title game, which they won by about 50. But when you blatantly disregard the rules and then you kind of hide behind you, as you said, you blatantly go against what your employer is asking you to do, then there's a ramification to it. And this is it. Now, the interesting question is they drafted, I guess, last year, Jimmy Garoppolo, maybe as an heir apparent, maybe to trade kind of a la Ryan Mallett several years ago. Nobody has any clue if Garoppolo is ready, and he's going to have to start the first four games of the season. It's going to be a very interesting beginning of the year.
Yeah, there are a couple of things that go along with that. First of all, the only thing that puts a damper on this is that my Jets don't play in those first four games. That really pisses me off because, I mean, I prefer a game not against Tom Brady versus one that is with Tom Brady. I think that's just common sense. They play the Bills. They play the Steelers, the Bills, the Jaguars, and then the Cowboys. They have a bye week, and then he comes back if this four-game suspension is held and throughout, he comes back against those Indianapolis Colts in week six, which would be quite an interesting story. I don't think he gets the four games.
You think it's appealed and it's dropped to two?
I think it's appealed. I think he gets to two games for a couple of reasons. First of all, I can't think Tom Brady doesn't appeal this. I don't know if you agree or disagree with. For those that are unaware, Seth and I did not talk about this before the show. This only came down at 5:30, so we haven't had a whole lot of time to talk about it. This is our first conversation. But to me, I think he has to appeal for several reasons. First of all, the union's going to say you have to appeal. Second, if he doesn't appeal, then basically he's saying I did it. Right. If you're not going to fight, then you're going to say, I did it. And if you're going to say, I did it, then people are going to say, okay, so tell us. Right. Now spill. If you're going to admit to doing it, if you're not going to fight this appeal and you're saying, I did it and I'm taking my punishment, well, then why didn't you release the text messages? Why didn't you tell us what happened? We're going to want the story. The people are going to want the story. And I don't think he goes down that avenue either. So I think he has to appeal it. I think it goes to two games. I think Roger Goodell is happy with two games. I think that's been his play all along, is to get two games out of this, not four. But you know what? I said the same thing with Adrian Peterson, and he got he got the full year. So, I mean, I've been wrong before.
You've been wrong before?
I have. I have been wrong on many things before. This just being one of them.
A question.
But
I'm sorry. Please continue.
No. Go ahead.
Now, we know New England has not had the most sterling reputation over the last decade. Do you think that part of this has anything to do with this is not a first, you know, this ain't their first rodeo? In regards to having issues about cheating, obviously going back to Spygate. Do you think there's any ramification from prior acts?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because again, this is about thumbing your nose, right? Look, if you get sent to detention once, then you come back and you're a squeaky clean guy. Nobody really remembers the detention. If you come back the second time, you get another detention, people kind of say, well, is this becoming a habit? Even if it's 2 or 3 years down the line. If you come back a third time, it's no longer a habit. Now it's not a habit. Now it's just saying, you know what, we can get away with it, so we're going to keep doing it. And I think the NFL is finally saying, you know what, enough is enough. I absolutely think this has something to do with the ongoing, there's a word that Michael Wilk, recidivist? Yeah, recidivist.
Is that our SAT word of the day?
That's Michael Wilbon's SAT word of the day.
He went to Northwestern. He's smarter than both of us.
Absolutely. But the fact is that I absolutely believe that this has something to do with the Patriots ongoing, basically thumbing their nose at the institution, at the Shield. And look, I'm the first one that says that the Shield has had a bad year. They've had a bad 12 months. But let's take this out, and I'll ask you this question. Let's take out the last 12 months. Let's say Ray Rice doesn't occur. Let's say Greg Hardy doesn't occur and Adrian Peterson doesn't occur. Is this punishment so bad?
No.
Right.
It's not.
And that's the way I look at it. I don't look at this as a comparison to anything because it shouldn't be. Each punishment should be dictated on its own
merit. But it never is. We know that.
Well, but maybe that's the way it should be, and that's the way he's looking at it today. Right? This is not apples to apples of Ray Rice versus Tom Brady.
No, I don't agree.
My point is, maybe it's a little harsh. Look, I think the fourth round pick is just thrown in there for gravy. I mean, really. It's like $1 million fine, a first round pick, and losing Tom Brady for four games isn't enough. You have to give up a fourth, too. I mean, I just think that's just added bonus, another kick in the leg. But sometimes you have to set an example. I think Adrian Peterson was an example. Because what he did, okay, it was bad. I mean, it was bad, no question. But come on. There will never be a point where a player will ever be above the Adrian Peterson bar, right? You'll never get to a point where a person does the same thing as Adrian Peterson and he can tell the NFL, hey, you didn't do it to your biggest star, so why are you going to do it to me? Because Adrian Peterson was the biggest star. So today you have Tom Brady getting a punishment and the NFL is saying, look, I don't care if you're the 53rd man on the roster, you're the 10th man on the roster, or you are our golden boy, which he is. He's their golden boy. You're going to get the same punishment.
Well, that kind of leads to my next point. I have made the argument over the last, since we started the show, or especially over the last 6 months to a year, that Tom Brady could be the greatest quarterback of all time, considering his record, considering his lack of, you know, receivers that he played with, based on all this, based on his, obviously, his Super Bowl record. What is the long-term ramifications from that respect? How much does this hamper him in that?
Shall let you breathe!
This is like when this reminds me of when you found the Islanders song, and every time they played a goal, you played it. Three times is the limit for a show on anything.
Really?
But maybe not. You want to run it one more time?
Anyway, no, that's fine. But I was waiting actually, Seth, for you to bring that up because I was going to ask you the same question. Because you're the guy that's been, you're right, since the beginning of this show, and basically for the last 24 months, you've been saying Tom Brady is the guy. He's number one. There is no number. There is nobody close.
I have not said there's nobody close.
Well, no, but I mean close. It's not a discussion for you. You have made, I can say it could be Brady, it could be Manning, it could be Montana. I got three or four guys in that argument. You've made your decision, or it seemed like you made your decision.
Yeah.
This is your time. Okay, so there's no discussion in that. That's what I was getting at. Not that.
Okay.
Not that.
I don't know if I'd go that far. I don't know if I would go that far. But, yeah, if I was going to choose one quarterback as the greatest of this era, the greatest of, you know, I mean, I'm not comparing him to Otto Graham, but, it would be Brady. But I don't think you can't not discuss Peyton and Montana.
but you have a definitive number one. I have
he's my number one.
Right. Does this detract from it?
I've been trying to figure that out while you've been talking. It has to a degree. Similar, but it's kind of hard for me to gauge how much it should impact it. This is not Roger Clemens going on steroids and lying in front of a grand jury, and you know, it's not to that level. And you don't, and nobody ever hears of Roger Clemens, you know, in the greatest pitchers of all time argument anymore, or certainly not to the degree you did prior to this. Obviously, it's going to hamper it to a degree. Does it impact it to me? At this point, probably not. He still has won, he's still been a quarterback of four Super Bowl champions. They've gone to six, very well could have won six. He's still never had the talent surrounding him of a Montana, Marino, Elway. Well, Elway didn't have great talent for most of his career, but or Manning. I kind of have to see how it plays out a little bit before I'm willing to completely throw him under the bus in that regard. But obviously, it certainly makes me second guess it, to say the least.
So there's two things that I caught during your talk just now. I don't think Marino had anywhere close to the talent that any of those other guys did, except for Brady. I think Brady and Marino's talent was pretty much the same. I think Brady had better running backs. He had worse wideouts, and Marino never had a running back, and he had better wideouts. So I think the talent between those two was actually very similar. The
Fair
others,
enough. But nobody also puts Marino really in the Elway, Montana, Manning tier. He's kind of a half step below that.
Because he never won. That's the problem, but... So that was number one. Number two, if you'd like to call in 760-283-0846, we're going to talk a little bit more about this Deflategate, then we're going to get on to the NBA playoffs, and we'll finish up with some college basketball, which I know Seth has been...
I also want to talk a little Bill Simmons.
But ear-to-ear smile all day. All week, all month, whatever. But, so... When it comes down to it, do you put a taint on anything that's gone on? Is that Super Bowl tainted?
No. I sound like a Boston fan, which is so strange. But as silly, I find kind of what in regards to what you said of the cover-up is worse than the crime, I just don't see this as anything that bad. And you know, the cover-up is incredibly stupid, you know, not giving up as we've discussed, and I know I'm going to get crushed on this by people. I don't see the crime as that bad. I think different, you know, when I just don't.
Okay, well, you're going to be surprised by my reaction, because I kind of agree with you.
Oh god.
Yeah. Well, look, should he have been able to play in that game? I don't know. I really don't. But he was. He played. Okay? Are the World Series championships that Roger Clemens pitched in tainted by the fact that he played them? No. I don't see it that way. I don't see that at all. That's just the way I look at it. Will I ever view Roger Clemens as the top pitcher of all time? No. And
did
I think
you before?
What's that?
Did you before?
No. Well, before all this came out?
Before all this
was,
came about.
Well, there was no way to... His legacy... Let's remember... Okay, so when he retired and none of this was apparent, yeah, he was probably the top right-handed pitcher probably of all time. Well, maybe him and Walter Johnson. But certainly the last 50 years.
Modern era.
Yeah, it was. I mean, Tom Seaver's number two, and he's number one. Maddox, well, maybe Maddox is number two. But those are the top three. He was. Does this taint Tom Brady to me? Absolutely. does it make him any less of a Hall of Famer? No, he won 5 Super Bowls or however many, 5, 4, 3, whatever.
4.
It doesn't really matter, does it? It's more than anybody else since Montana. It doesn't matter. He still won them, and the team won them because that's what football is. Football is a team sport. So it taints him. I don't think it tapes the victory. Keyshawn Johnson said this on ESPN about, I don't know, about an hour ago. He goes, look, Tom Brady didn't make Pete Carroll make that call not to run the ball. That wasn't Tom Brady. That wasn't because the ball was half deflated. That was because Pete Carroll made a stupid move. That has nothing to do with this. So I don't think it taints it. I don't think anybody believes it taints it. Maybe Seattle fans do. But I don't think anybody believes it taints it. And I think you're right. It is about the cover-up. It is about not saying you did it. And I don't care what anybody says. First of all, this is not a court of law, right? So right to privacy be damned. If your employer tells you you need to do something, you go do it. And if you don't, you get fired. It's just that simple. So to me, you're right. It's the cover-up is worse than the crime. But the smugness is even worse. I mean, that is what absolutely gets me every single time, is the absolute smugness that he has. And that's where I land on this. Yeah, 4 games. I think it'll be 2. I think the $1 million fine is a pittance. I don't think it really matters. The first-round pick is a big deal. I was actually more surprised by the first-round pick than I was the four-game suspension. Because that doesn't hit Brady. That hits the team. And the 4th round, I think, was just a kick in the balls. Quite frankly, it was just like, oh, yeah, let's just get him one more shot. So what's your prediction? Do you think that it'll actually stand, or do you think this will be appealed, and where does
I think
it go?
I think it'll be appealed, and it'll be a 2-game when it's all said and done. I think the draft picks will hold. The suspension on the draft picks will hold.
I don't think the draft picks or the money really matter in the long scheme of this.
Please. Bob Kraft donates that much money to the Little League fields in Jerusalem on an annual basis. $1 million isn't going to do very much.
Right, but I'm saying I think the first-round pick stands, too. I don't think that...
Yeah, I agree.
I don't think it's an outcry over the first... First of all, I think it's an outcry, period, because people don't think that this is a big deal. I don't think people out inside of Boston, inside New England, think, much the same way as you just said, is the crime such a big deal? And Ted Wells didn't have confirmation that this actually happened. It was more probable than not. There's been a lot more convicted on more probable than not. And that's even in a court of law, which this has no standing to. So, just my take on it. So let's talk Bill Simmons. Bill Simmons not being re-signed at ESPN, probably the biggest innovator in sports media in the last 20 years.
I said last quarter century right before you got on. Yeah, about that time.
I mean, between Grantland and 30 for 30s, and he's made him, and the sports guy, he's made himself into his own conglomerate, and did it come a time that his ego just got too big?
Well, supposedly that's been true all along. The room, you know, we're not privy to what goes on in the inner workings of ESPN. Although I gave you that book to read about it, which is pretty great. But he's never been immensely popular. He fought recently with Mike and Mike. He fought with Rick Riley. He's a new generation sports writer. He started in a lot of ways. It was his writing that kind of brought around the blog era. And, you know, it's a shame because he is the best, to me, he is the best thing on ESPN. Grantland is by far the best thing on ESPN, as are the 30 for 30s. Now what I find interesting is Grantland was pretty much put together for him, or it was his baby, and it's now going to continue without him. The 30 for 30s are going to continue without him, which leaves him in an interesting situation because obviously, even though he has immense popularity and an immense fan base, it's going to be interesting because I assume he ends up at a Fox Sports. One of his someone he got along with while at ESPN, I think his name is Horowitz, Jamie Horowitz, is taking over running Fox Sports. There is no number two. I mean, it reminds me of, you know, it's ESPN and then it's 27, you know, nothing. And about number 24, number 25 is ESPN, is Fox Sports and CBS Sports and NBC Sports and all these other ones. So there's nothing even in the realm. Where he goes from here, I don't know. Does he do a Howard Stern and pull a serious radio? Does he go more into the entertainment realm? I mean, does he stay in the, I don't know. I will say I will miss the BS reports. They are my favorite. They are fantastic.
I think the BS report will probably continue, even if it's on his own, or something to the same extent. I listen to them as well. Jamie Horowitz, for those that don't know, was actually hired by Good Morning America and then fired right after the Ann Curry stuff. He supposedly had too much of an ego as well. So it seems like the two of them would fit in very well together. Simmons wanted to make over $5 million next year. John Skipper of ESPN said no. And you wanted more creative control, and John Skipper said no. So here we are. I liked listening to Bill Simmons on NBA Countdown. I was surprised at actually how good he was. But he picked fights where you have to say, did he really want to stay at ESPN or not? Because, man, he after Roger Goodell's, after the suspension of Ray Rice, he went on to his BS report and basically challenged ESPN to suspend him for saying that Roger Goodell, I believe, was a liar. There was a whole lot going on in the back of that. I think you're right. I think Rupert Murdoch shells out some big money for him, but I'm not sure it makes that big of a difference, because if you look at some of the other people, some of the other talent that have gone over to Fox and really haven't dented anything, right? I mean, you got Erin Andrews, not to say that she's to the same degree by any stretch of the imagination. It doesn't have the great following that Bill Simmons does, but you're kind of like going from Microsoft to Linux and saying, let's see if this will get me to where Microsoft is. And I'm not sure it's going to move the needle that much. It'll move it a little bit, but do you really think Fox One Sports is going to really make its move because of Bill Simmons? I'm not so sure about that.
I'm not. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. You know, Erin Andrews, I don't even know where she is, and what's the other? The 17 from the parking lot. I love how I always go back to that. The great college basketball announcer.
You could say Gus Johnson went to Fox.
That's who I was trying to come up with. The name was escaping me. You know, and he obviously hasn't made a dent. Nobody's heard from him in years. Simmons is a bit of a different kind of animal, though, because he is both a written and a video, and from a digital perspective, he is, in my mind, the most powerful individual of this era, other than the president of ESPN, you know, from a strictly media perspective, not from a president or vice president of sales or whatever perspective, from a writing perspective, from a multimedia perspective. He has pretty much revolutionized the sports world. I don't know where he ends up. I don't know if he decides to go on his own. I don't know what he's going to do. But I am really fascinated to find out.
Well, I'm more fascinated by the book that he's going to write someday. I mean, that just seems like it's made for reading, because I very much enjoy him as an author as well. His basketball book, which you turned me on to, was one of the best reads I've ever had. So let's move on to what made your day very fun, which was Rashad Suleiman making his way over to College Park.
Yeah.
For those of you who didn't know or don't care or anything along those lines, Merrill, well, we'll wait 2 seconds. So anyway, Maryland 28-7 this year in a kind of a shocking season. Preseason top five, bringing back everybody except for their kind of their heart and soul guy Dez Wells, and they get a former McDonald's All-American who left Duke under pretty dubious circumstances. Nobody really knows the details, and Mark Turgeon, who was a coach at A&M, had been recruiting him since he was 13 years old. And there's a need at the two guard, and Maryland now has a pro prospect at every starting position, has goes 10 deep. We should be very, very good. So any Maryland fan is pretty excited, although the idea of getting a Duke retread never really brings a smile to anybody's face. But that aside, it's a good pickup. And the last time we brought in someone under somewhat murky circumstances was Dez Wells, who turned out to be a standout both personally and playing at the University of Maryland. So I'm pretty stoked.
As you should be. I mean, look, we lost a recruit today. I was not too happy about it. Lost it to Michigan, actually. Tyus Battle, the number 16 recruit and a point guard. So, I mean, there's that. But, look, I feel for you guys. It looks like a good recruiting class. You like your coach, which I can't say so much about your football coach, but you like your basketball coach.
That is true. I've always been a Turgeon guy.
I mean, the one thing that we know is that preseason and opening season rankings have really no effect in college basketball on the regular season, right? I mean, we that's the best part about college basketball is it's actually decided on the court as opposed to decided in the polls. So when Syracuse won their national championship, they were unranked in the preseason. You've had preseason number ones that have not made the quarters, the Sweet 16. So, I mean, it's gone both ways. But it does look like a very good start for your Maryland Terrapins. I mean, I am eagerly excited for you because I haven't seen you this Jones about a college basketball team, especially one of yours, in a very long time. And that's good. I mean, it's
well,
since
you've known me.
Yeah, basically. So I'm happy about that. You know what? Right now, I'm happy about my predictions for the NBA playoffs because so far, I'm pretty spot on.
Remind me of Nostradamus.
I have the Clippers going to the finals.
Yes, you do.
And they're looking like they're going. And I also have Memphis beating Golden State, and they look like they're going too. What's going on in Golden State, my friend? From the guy that loves Steph Curry and loves the Splash Brothers, what is going on in California?
They're down 2-1. They play game 4 tonight, so let's not write them off quite yet. It's a tough matchup for them, and realistically, because they're not big enough. As good as they are, Gasol and Randolph are a beast for anybody. The idea when Conley came back relatively healthy, or at least where he could play at a functional level, it does help out significantly. Tony Allen does what Tony Allen does. Do I think Golden State has just not looked great? They just have not looked. You know, it's similar to what's happened with Atlanta. When you're the number one team in the conference and you're cruising for the last month of the season and you're not a team like the Spurs or like Miami, the Miami Heat were prior to LeBron going back to Cleveland, where you could take a month off and kind of and then just restart it. Golden State hasn't done enough
And Atlanta certainly has not done enough to warrant that. And they may not know how to restart it. I do think Atlanta will end up beating Washington simply without, because Washington doesn't, John Wall's probably out for the rest of the playoffs. And I think that'll end up being the difference. But Atlanta has not looked great. Golden State has looked flat. There's no other way to put it. They're turning the ball over. Stephen Curry, the MVP, took one shot in the fourth quarter in a 10-point in a game where they were down between 8 and 12. Doesn't make any sense. They're just not playing very well. And Memphis is not a team that you could, you know, Memphis is a tough, tough team, and they're not a team you're going to run over, and they're not a team you may run by them, but you're not going to run over them. And it's put them in a very precarious situation.
Yeah, I mean, I love this matchup from Memphis. I love this matchup from the Flip Joint. I mean, I just thought that both of these guys were spot on. And I'll tell you, the Clippers look good. I mean, they look really good. And they look really good with Chris Paul playing limited minutes. I don't know how much of this series you have watched. Austin Rivers is playing fantastic ball. I don't know where he's been the last 3 years, but at least in this series, he's come to play. And Blake Griffin is being Blake Griffin, and DeAndre Jordan is hitting half of his foul shots, which is a win-win for everybody. Because we're still going to pack a Jordan for like 4 days.
I would also like to see, we both had said that whoever won, you know, I like the Spurs, you like the Clippers, and you know, it came down to the last half of a second. But both of us really thought that either team would have a problem with Houston. I don't think you thought San Antonio would have a problem with Houston. I didn't think the Clippers would have a problem with Houston. They are not a team that is built you see as a big time playoff team. Harden is a great scorer. Dwight Howard brings whatever Dwight Howard brings, but they're not a team if you look at this team and you think, well, you know, Oklahoma City wasn't healthy. You know, a couple of the other teams, you know, Portland fell apart when everybody got injured. You know, this is a team that very well could have been a 7 seed in the West. They're a good team. They're not a team that's particularly special. And they're not a championship caliber team at this point. I thought the winner of this, I mean, if we can get, you know, Clippers, Memphis would be a brutal series. Clippers, Golden State would be a lot of fun. Houston is not a great matchup Houston does not match up well really with anybody at this level. They just don't.
Well, Houston is missing Patrick Beverley, which I think is a huge loss. Now, sometimes you can make the claim that scoring, if you don't lose scoring, it's not a big deal. But for that team that really does rely on two defensive players, and only two defensive players, being Howard and Beverly, losing your point guard that can guard players, I mean, right now you're relying on Trevor Ariza to guard point guards, that's not going to work very well. Beverly, to me, was the heart and soul of that team, and losing him was a big deal. That I think gets a little...
He had been out for a while, though. And I agree. You know, the matchup against a Mike Conley or against a Chris Paul or against a Stephen Curry is hard enough with a Patrick Beverley, who, as he said, is a very solid defensive player. But the set, they have no matchup at this point. And they were lucky they were playing a relatively dispirited Dallas team in the first round with all the agita that went with Rajon Rondo and so on and so forth. They had a pretty easy cruise into the second round. But I don't know too many people who had them going any further, regardless of who they played. And the Clippers have looked very good. Blake Griffin has looked like an MVP candidate, to be perfectly honest. And, you know, Austin Rivers coming off that ridiculous, what was it, 5-minute run. I forget which game it was. But it has looked like a guy who belongs in the NBA,
not someone who was drafted and traded for based on his father. But we'll see what happens. It is 2-1. It's not 3-1. Well, 3-1 Clippers. What do you call it? It's 2-1. The series tonight, Golden State is 2-1. And it has been a fun playoff. You've seen, Paul Pierce hitting the bank three. LeBron hitting a shot that even for LeBron was a little bit ridiculous. It's been a fun playoff so far.
Well, I saw a stat today that there have been more buzzer beaters in the NBA playoffs this year than there have been in the last 5 NCAA tournaments. Just let that soak in for a little bit as to how crazy this NBA playoffs are. I mean, the Paul Pierce shot, I don't know where he was shooting it from or how, but I don't know if you actually saw the shot, but it felt like, or it looked like, he was shooting on like a 35-degree angle with his hand. Like, it wasn't a straight shot by any stretch. And it just... And what was the line that he used? Somebody said, did you call bang? I think he said, I called in. Yeah. Or good. Yeah. I called good. Yeah.
I think you said I called game. No, I mean, Dennis Schroeder made the comment that it was a lucky shot. And the reality is it probably was. Nobody looked at that and said, man, that was a thing of beauty. He said that he looked at that, and this is, of course, against an Atlanta team that was down 21. And Mike Muscala, I mean, from Bucknell, ties the game with 30 seconds to go with a three. So this was a really strange game, and Pierce with an awkward bang. I mean, he's Paul Pierce. But, even he was probably in the back of his mind knows that that was a pretty lucky shot, to say the least.
So I'm not sure if you saw LeBron's shot yesterday. And there's been some talk back and forth as to that LeBron ignored Gabe Blatt, said his call, and said, I'm going to take the shot. And he happened to hit the shot. Great for him. But is Gabe Blatt going to return next year? What is your sense on that?
Yeah, I don't see why he wouldn't. You have a team. I mean, I certainly don't think he's done a phenomenal job with this team, but it's right now you're 2-2 in the second round of the playoffs with your second best player injured and your third best player out for the playoffs. I don't know how much credibility he has with LeBron, but LeBron, at the end of the day, LeBron is going to make the decision whether he stays or goes. And I don't think LeBron fires coaches. This isn't Magic Johnson firing Paul Westhead for all intents and purposes in 1981 and bringing in Pat Riley coming in. I expected more of it. I expected more of an impact from Blatt. It hasn't played out that way. But especially if Cleveland can go on and win the series, because I think most of us believe, and I believe, that the winner of the Cleveland-Chicago series will beat either Atlanta or Washington, especially the way Atlanta's playing now. So it's very unlikely that if Cleveland wins the series and goes to the finals and loses, that Blatt's going to be fired. So I don't see him out this year. Have you heard rumors to the contrary?
Well, I mean, when you take the case that LeBron is basically ignoring Blatt's calls and taking it upon himself, I kind of think back to when he was first with Miami and he did the same thing with Spoelstra, right? I mean, it takes time. Remember, Dave Blatt was hired before LeBron was returning, or even an inkling LeBron was returning. Now, I've heard some rumors Tyson Lue, who is their bench coach, right next to Blatt, would take for, and everybody likes Ty Lue. And I get it, but Ty Lue doesn't have any more experience than Dave Blatt does. So you're kind of the same opinion. Is he going to be any better? And look, you're right. To me, LeBron is not that type of person that just runs through coaches. I mean, he just hasn't been that guy forever. So, I mean, to me, it's LeBron is of the opinion that if I'm going to take the shot, I'm going to take it anyway, regardless of whether the coach says it. And if you're the best player, trust me, Michael Jordan, he took the shot when he wanted to take the shot. Really didn't matter what Phil Jackson said. We may not have heard it, but I guarantee you he took his shots when he wanted to.
So we've talked about three of the four series. What's your thoughts on Atlanta, Washington? Or you don't have too many of them?
Well, I think Atlanta has come out flat. I mean, you were the first one to say, at least on this show, you were the first one to say or to think that that would occur because you can't just turn it on and off like San Antonio does. And as it turned out, San Antonio turned it on, but not enough this year. I mean, granted, it was one basket. But now Al Horford is hurt. You have injuries when you don't play hard for a while. Not to say that they didn't play hard all the time, but they certainly took a break in the second half. And you're right. It's basically going to come down to the fact that John Wall's out. I mean, I don't see how they can win that series without John Wall. And even with John Wall playing with one hand, that's not going to be enough. So I don't think Washington, despite what Paul Pierce may bring to the table, I don't think they win that series. And if they go, I'll tell you what, though, if Atlanta goes against Cleveland, I think Atlanta could win that series. I don't think Atlanta could beat Chicago.
I think it's fair. Atlanta, it is a better matchup for Atlanta, as strange as it sounds, playing against the LeBron James team. But Chicago is so much better rounded that it's not really a discussion at this point.
And one second. Speaking of Chicago, I'd like to welcome back Derrick Rose because, man, I've enjoyed watching him in these playoffs. It reminds me of Rose 2-3 years ago. I mean, he's taking the ball to the basket with authority. He's taking the contact. He's making those shots that he used to make. This is the Derrick Rose that we saw 3 and 4 years ago before the injuries. And he's a pleasure to watch. I mean, he doesn't talk trash. He just goes out and does his thing. Absolute pleasure to watch. One of my favorite players to watch in the NBA right now.
Going from the hard court to the ice. Well, we have Washington in a game 7 again, having blown a 3-1 lead. Going back to New York, Ovechkin makes a guarantee, which doesn't mean very much, I'll be perfectly honest. Do the Caps have a shot of winning the series in New York?
Yep, I do. I think Hopi's played better than Lundqvist in the series so far. Hopi's played a lot better in the playoffs than Lundqvist has. But they have a shot. Down 3-1, the Rangers have come back. I hate the Rangers. I mean, I hate the Rangers. But the only team I hate, I think, more than the Rangers is the Patriots. So it would be a great, like, double dip for the Rangers to lose tomorrow night because then I could have a great 48 hours. But
we have a caller here. Hold on.
No, let's take the caller.
You're on with Seth and Sean. Hello?
Well,
okay. I guess we don't have a caller.
Anyway, it would be a great 48 hours if the Rangers lost. Do I think that they win? Probably. I mean, look, I can go around and around that the Rangers are my most hated rival in most sports except for the Patriots, but they are a good team. They are a solid team, top to bottom. And they have the best defense in the NHL playoffs right now. And that's going to be very, very difficult to beat. Congratulations so far to the Tampa Bay Lightning, who have solved the mystery of Carey Price, though. Because I certainly didn't think that was going to happen.
Okay, let's try this one more time. Hello, you on? Hello?
I see the person on. Hold on, let me try.
No, he's off now.
All right. So anyway, we got about 5 minutes to go. So why don't you finish up and then I'll go.
All right. Notre Dame, you know my feelings on Notre Dame. It's comparable to my feelings on, well, broccoli, the Knicks, and a few other things that I truly adore. Everett Golston, who is of course their starting quarterback for a couple of years and got suspended, he took him to a championship.